This is the Drama Sessions by Natalie Liu for Baggage Reclaim. You're listening to Session 12. Empathy and compassion take us a long way, and yet many of us think that we're practicing these even when we're in these roles. Particularly with what we view as the good roles, you know, victim and rescuer, we're inclined to feel that we're driven by how much empathy we have for others. To be clear, it's not that we're devoid of empathy, quite the opposite, but we misuse it. Empathy is about being able to put ourselves in another person's shoes and get a sense of what they might be thinking and feeling, or what they may have gone through, even if we have no experience of it ourselves. We don't have to agree with their position, but we do have to acknowledge that they have one, and also that they are different from us. The mistake that many people make is that they put themselves in what they think is the other person's shoes and then project their own stuff onto it, including their agenda. This means, for example, that even though we might be aware of how someone's actions are leading or certainly contributing to us being in a subpar relationship, we resist having the boundaries we need because when we think about walking away, for instance, we remember how we felt when someone walked away from us, and then we conflate the two. We might believe that all we want is to be loved and that we would be so much happier if someone showed their devotion, and so we ignore the code red alerts. Or we rationalize that someone's behavior is due to their terrible childhood, and so we keep letting them off the hook, even though we've had painful experiences too, and we don't go around abusing people. We might take the blame for someone else's behavior, especially when they insist that we made them feel or behave in that way. After walking on eggshells and feeling absolutely broken within, we gradually come to realize that we're not responsible for the other person's feelings and behavior. We acknowledge the earlier choices where we sacrificed our real needs to move quickly into this relationship before really knowing them. In turn, we recognize this person's position from a place of reality. It's not that we stop seeing the best in others, but more that we stop feeling as if it's our duty to manufacture it, instead of drawing on our experience of them and using that to guide our boundaries and subsequent actions and choices. Empathy, like compassion, incidentally, is a full circle action and mentality. We can't claim to be empathetic while hating on ourselves. Compassion means recognizing that everyone has a backstory. Everyone is struggling, and not everything is about us. This doesn't mean that we dismiss our experiences, but more that we recognize other people's humanness by also recognizing ours. We don't need to put ourselves at the mercy of anyone, nor do we have to forget that something happened or press the reset button. It's boundaries, knowing where we end and others begin. This means, for instance, that we have the compassion to acknowledge that someone has their issues and shortcomings and that they might fall and get back up and do so again, and we don't have to try to fix them. We might recognize that someone is a narcissist or certainly narcissistically inclined. And rather than make their behavior about us or design our life to continue being their victim or rescuer, we have the empathy that they can't. It may include acknowledging what we couldn't see before. Someone else's inability to feel what we wanted them to feel or to be what we wanted them to be. We realize that it sucks to be this way, recognize how our old wounds drew us to this person, and also take responsibility for our own actions so that we stop being at the mercy of this person. Even if we don't love someone in the fullest sense, we have the compassion to respect who they are instead of trying to change them into someone else or judging us for who they are or aren't. It is allowing us to grow instead of keeping us stuck in the past, reminding us of old judgments, mistakes, and failures. If I stay silent or water down what I need to say or do, how will I feel afterwards? Don't just focus on the other person's feelings. We spend a lot of time avoiding saying what we need to say and doing what we need to do, because we're afraid of hurting feelings or making waves. It is critical to our own well-being as well as the health of our relationships that we speak up more. Honesty, the truth with respect, is empathy. We often don't realize that people need our boundaries and empathy more than they need our silence. Are they really how they are because of my unworthiness, or is it something else? Yeah, it makes us feel special to make us responsible for how someone is or isn't, but that's not the truth. You might reason that they are more patient with someone else. Couldn't there be another reason besides trying to destroy you? For instance, is it because you are similar to them and so they expect better of you because of how self-critical they are? Is it because they don't like acknowledging how they failed in their parenting of you? Is it because they feel guilty about how they've behaved towards you, and then after initially feeling remorseful, they feel resentful due to the guilt and the dynamic, victimizing themselves, and so they act out? There's always another reason. What's the baggage behind it? Yep, it's back again. How you respond to conflict, criticism, stress, loss, disappointment, and rejection is based on your baggage, and how others do it is based on theirs. It's habit. We don't just come up with new stuff to suit every situation. If that were the case, we'd find it a lot easier to make long-lasting change. So, before you go making someone's behavior all about you, pause. Acknowledge the baggage behind your emotional, mental, and physical response, as well as theirs. The funny thing is, when we behave as if someone is perfect, and then they behave in a way that basically flags up that they have baggage too, it's often the first time we actually acknowledge that they have a backstory, personality, characteristics, and past and present resources, abundance, and circumstances that account for their actions. Baggage isn't something to shame us over. It's realizing that we all have it that liberates us from the job we've given ourselves to fix other people's stuff. We depersonalize other people's feelings and behavior. I have a basic script that I teach so many people that takes you out of the roles and into your true and honest self. And it's the I hold my hands up script. You, for example, let the person know what is bothering you and what you would like to change, if anything, and then you own your part no matter how teeny tiny you might perceive it to be, because boundaries are twofold, remember. Or you admit your side of the boundary issue without blame so that the pretense is over. Let's imagine that you've got someone in your life who only seems to pop up when they want something from you. You could erupt at them and say, "This isn't fair. I deserve better than this. Can't you see how much you're hurting me? All I'm asking for you is to spend a bit more time with me, to be treated like someone who matters. Surely that's not too much to ask, given everything I've done for you." Or you could say something like, "I only seem to hear from you when you want something, and I don't like feeling this way. I hold my hands up. I've gone along with things because I thought that it would lead to us being in a bona fide relationship, but I can't do this anymore. If I've given you the impression that this is all I'm okay with, please know that this is not the case. A mutually fulfilling relationship where I feel valued and cared for is really important to me, and so I'm out." Or imagine that you have an issue with a friend, or they you. You could opt to list off all the things you've done for them and express your disappointment at their treatment of you, or you could acknowledge the elephant in the room. "I hold my hands up. I've known for a long time that something isn't quite right in our friendship. When we first became friends, I think I was just so thrilled that you'd taken me under your wing. There have been a number of times over the years where I've wanted to address something with you but then avoided it, and that's totally my stuff. And I apologize because it's meant that I haven't been as honest with you as I needed to be, and resentment has gradually built up." Or, for something lighter, "I hold my hands up. I made an assumption that in retrospect proved to be off base. It definitely wasn't my intention to cause an issue, and I'm sorry." In both instances, you're owning your side of the street without blaming and shaming the other party or yourself. You're being a grown-up. They can opt to own their side of the street or they can opt not to. But either way, you're not fueling drama and you're practicing self-care and healthy boundaries. I have another basic script, the don't guilt me script. I've taught it to so many clients so that they can, at once, bring an issue out in the open by drawing attention to the facts of a person's behavior or situation while also making their boundary clear. When you say or do and reference no more than three specific and brief examples to get me to do what you want, I feel resentful. I'm saying this to you because I value our relationship and I don't like feeling like this. If you want me to do something, just ask. There's no need to activate my conscience. If I can do it, I will. And if I can't or don't want to, I'll let you know. An example of an even shorter version of this is, you know, mom, for instance, if you want me to do something, just ask. You don't need to say and then repeat whatever they said to you verbatim to make me feel bad so that I'll do it. You can also add on the I hold my hands up script. I hold my hands up and admit that in the past I've said yes when I really should have said no. Or, for example, you could say, I hold my hands up and admit that in the past I held my tongue when I should have let you know that what you did wasn't cool. And I apologize for that. I will be honest with you in future so that this situation doesn't unfold again. You can even add, it isn't always going to be possible for us to say yes to each other. If our relationship is going to fall apart or you're going to stop talking to me because I haven't done what you wanted, then clearly we have bigger issues to address. Here are some final tips. Try to avoid seeing other people's efforts to cope, to improve, to be self-sufficient, to be less dependent on you, to attend to their own issues instead of yours as an attack on you. Don't do things to earn love or attention, affection, approval, or validation for that matter. You can't earn these. Trying to will only lead you out of integrity and your true self and cause a great deal of pain because you will have a hidden agenda. If you stop earning and efforting, you won't feel as if you have been robbed or shortchanged. You haven't. The only time you can be robbed or shortchanged of these things is in childhood. But you can't make up for that by getting people to fill these voids. That will only rob and shortchange you further. Instead, you've got to gradually drop the role and give you what you need for your own self-treatment and your choices. Respect and accept other people's viewpoints. Note, this doesn't mean agreeing with or condoning them. It does mean, however, that you stop expecting people to be just like you or to change because of how wrong you view them to be. Avoid trying to mind read or expecting others to do it for you. It's hard enough for us to understand ourselves in totality. It's too much for you to expect someone else to figure you out. Don't create drama to draw attention to your needs. Asking the question, how am I doing today, helps you to have an ongoing dialogue with you so that the tension doesn't build up and catch you off guard with uncharacteristic behavior. Stop expecting people to share the same moral outlook as you. Every human acts out of self-interest at times, so there's no need to be so surprised by it. Yes, people do get on your nerves and so forth, but take responsibility. That means acknowledge the things that you're saying and doing in response to what they did that are affecting your feelings and behavior. Don't rescue, empower, and without expectation of what you should get in return. In case you're unsure of what empower means, it means helping others to help themselves. This is very different to being their solution or savior. Now that you're aware of the three roles, it will be easier to navigate away from drama or to recognize what's really driving your participation in a situation. You can look at what you're doing and decide if it fits into these three roles, and if it does, you can opt to choose a course of action and thinking that lifts you out of them. Go forth with love, care, trust, and respect. Take care of you.